الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد نرى تقلب وجهك في السماء فلنولينك قبلة ترضاها فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا عائشة أرفقي فإن الله تعالى إذا أراد بأهل بيت خيرا أدخل عليهم الرفق أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected ulama ikram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as people of Iman, there should generally be a sense of anticipation. We are going through a period in the Islamic calendar which generally ulama ikram classify as muqaddima. They classify this period as the introduction or the period of anticipation and preparation for that great and supreme opportunity that once in a year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with, which is the Mubarak and the blessed month of Ramadan. As I mentioned previously, Abu Bakr al-Warraq Balkhi rahimahullah, he explains this, what I just said, in the form of an expression. He says, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rajab would start, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa ballighna Ramadan. In other words, indication, start preparing. You are going through the introduction. Oh Allah, bless us in Rajab and Shaban and cause us to remain alive to experience the Mubarak month of Ramadan. As I mentioned, he used to say, the example of Rajab is matalu zara. Farmer, what does he do first? He starts planting the seeds. After you have planted the seed, Shaban comes. He says, Siqal is Zara. What is it now? Now you till the land, water it, look after the sprout that is coming forth, prepare it. And the month of Ramadan, Hasadu Zara. That is the time when you reap the harvest. Another example he gives, he says, Mathalur Rajab, Mathalur Reeh. The example of Rajab is when the wind comes. Wind is blowing. What is the wind? Anticipation of the gathering or the onset of the rain clouds. Mathalul Shaban, Mathalul Ghaim. Now it is overcast. The sky is full of clouds that are promising an imminent downpour of mercy and rahmat. And Ramadan, Mathalul Matar. Ramadan is when the door to the heavens open. And the torrential rainfall of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us. The point, my respected brothers, is that every one of us should not be ignoring this opportunity. Don't wait for Ramadan to start preparing for Ramadan. Don't wait for Ramadan to experience the beauty of Ramadan. The preparation starts now as we see clearly in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many sahaba, particularly our beloved eminent mother Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she would describe the demeanor, the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would increase his fasting in Shaban. He would increase his tilawat of Quran in Shaban. All this was what? anticipation of the Mubarak and the blessed month of Ramadan. Jumu'ah, we've got limited time. I want to focus on one or two aspects. Also today we find there's not one but two nikahs. So I'm going to interlink the two things. First, historically, let us learn. Unfortunately, there is a general sense of apathy amongst us. Our deen has become what we call riwaj, ritual. We're going through the motions. For example, many of us, because we've seen some notice on the board, Tuesday night is Shab-e-Barat. What is Shab-e-Barat? What's the significance of it? What's the haqiqat? What's the reality? What we are actually supposed to be doing? Unfortunately, many parts of the Islamic world, even here, we'll see people doing things that have no basis in Shariat whatsoever. What's the cause of it? Lack of knowledge. And like I said, bigger problem is not the lack of knowledge. Bigger problem is the sense of apathy. We are, in other words, we are totally complacent with our level of ignorance. This is the sad reality when it comes to our deen. Comes to our dunya, we want to learn all the time. We want to strive for excellence. We are looking for setting new boundaries all the time. Comes to our deen, unfortunately, like I said, we've got time constraints. I don't want to get sidetracked in what I'm talking about. But what happened in Shaaban? What is the significance of this month? Not only Shab-e-Barat, not only the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala chose this month for certain things. Let us appreciate historically what happened in Shaaban. There's one great alim of Medina Munawwara who used to make khidmat in the Haram. He writes an entire kitab. The kitab is called Madha fi Shaaban. Historically, in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what occurred in this month of Shaaban? If you ask somebody, maybe he's a five-time musalli, mashallah, he's got a dadi, sunnat outwardly, etc. Bhai, what happened in Shaaban historically? The person, illa mashallah, will stare at you with a blank face. He's got no idea whatsoever. This should not be our attitude towards deen. Like I said, the verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning, Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah, in his tafsir, mentions one very, very great occurrence that took place in the month of Shaaban. On this, Quran came down. And I'm going to delve a little bit on this, because through this occurrence that took place in Shaaban, one message is highlighted, comes forth. And what is that? The azim, majestic maqam and status of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Resplendent in this incident, we see the ajeeb, astonishing connection between Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, a lot of this is in Arabic. So to truly appreciate the nuance of it, for us English speaking, it becomes a little bit difficult. But I will attempt to try to highlight the nuances of the majestic and supreme connection and love which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afforded our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not so that we say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so beloved to Allah. What is maqsood? What is the objective? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was what we call sahibu sharia. He was the living, walking embodiment of that way of life, the only way of life that is acceptable to Allah. The only way of life that is going to get us success. So, to verbalize like a lot of us do, may to aashiq-e rasool, how beautiful is the maqam and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, etc. To do that and not allow it to translate into amal, not create this fervor between our within ourselves. For example, like I said, we got time constraints. First, I will mention the incident, then the appeal. Today, divorce rate is soaring. And where the divorce is not taking place, illa mashallah, husband is miserable, wife is miserable. Fighting all the time. Ulama are inundated with fatwas, queries, this problem, that problem. Many people, Allah forgive us, they are living in a marital relationship like total, complete strangers. What is the underlying cause? The Western world has written books trying to address this social malady of how to create compatibility, equanimity, love, how to cement this bond of marital relationship. Many countries, they've even abandoned this association of nikah because it is a paradox. How do you get two human beings to live together happily? We as an ummah, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the solution. Happy nikah, beautiful nikah, look forward to going home every day. My respected brothers, learn the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Implement within our lives. Don't just say, may Ashik-e Rasul. Ask yourself, am I behaving as a husband like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behaved? Nevertheless, I digress. Coming back, the verse of the Quran I recited in the beginning. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cutting the incident short because obviously Jummah we got time constraints. Nabiyyu Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah. When did he arrive in Madinah Munawwarah? Different opinions. Take the opinion of Allama Qurtubi for argument's sake. It was a Monday, 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwarah. Now in Madinah Munawwarah, what is the problem facing our master? In his heart, naturally, he had a love for Kaabatullah. The Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam, his great grandfather. However, in the initial stage of Islam, the Qibla was Baytul Muqaddas, Masjid Aqsa. Now in Makkah, he could face Kaaba and Aqsa. Medina, he couldn't do this. So what is the desire in the heart? The desire in the heart, oh my Allah, change the Qibla. Change the Qibla from Masjid Aqsa to Kaabatullah. Allahu Akbar, look at the seerah, learn the jewels from our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's command on the one side, when you make salah, face Masjid al-Aqsa. His desire on the other side, what is his desire? If only Allah will change the Qibla. Open seerah, open Quran, open the books of history, you will not find one narration where my Nabi articulated this. That Ya Allah, please change the Qibla. He didn't make dua. He didn't make dua. He didn't ask from Allah. He didn't in any way adopt anything that may appear to be an objection to the command of Allah. Because the one thing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us was Aslamtu taslima udkhulu fi silmi kafa. He accepted totally whatever the command of Allah was. If my Allah chose Masjid al-Aqsa, then it has to be that. But insan, naturally, he desired the Qibla should be changed. But he never asked. Allahu Akbar. Look at Quran coming down. It was the month of Shaban. How much time passed? Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah says 17 months and 3 days in Madinah Munawwara. From Rabiul Awal of the first year of Hijrah to Shaban al-Mu'azzam of the second year of Hijrah. 17 months, 3 days, 15th of Shaban comes. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in masjid, now they named it Qiblatayn. Quran comes down whilst he is in salah. What does my Allah say? First, this ayat, what is the hukam? What is the command? What is my Allah saying? فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكْ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is commanding you. The Qibla has changed. Every one of you in your salah face Masjidul Haram. Allah doesn't just send down the command. There is an introduction in this verse. What does Allah say? Pay attention. We'll understand the nuance. Allah does not say, "Oh my Nabi, you asked me. Oh my Nabi, you begged me." Oh, what does Allah say? قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Oh my beloved, we noticed that you kept looking towards the heavens with longing in your heart. What does this verse tell us? How close is the bond that even though he didn't ask, Allah is saying, we knew what was in your heart. We knew what you desired. That longing which you did not articulate, oh my beloved. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. It didn't go unnoticed. We saw how in Salah, facing Masjid Al-Aqsa, you kept on looking towards the heavens, in the hope, in the desire, in the anticipation, that Jibreel would come to change the Qibla. Don't worry, you are my beloved. Your hopes and your aspirations will not go in vain. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلًا. We will change the direction of the Qibla. We will turn you to a Qibla. Which Qibla? Allahu Akbar, my respected brothers, there is no language that can do justice to describe the maqam of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is illustrated in this expression. When Allah says, because of your longing and your aspirations and your hopes and your desires, which you did not articulate, you just held it in your heart, all you did was you kept looking toward the heavens, we have decided to now change the Qibla. But what Qibla? فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded by Allah, every ummati till qiyamah, every reciter of kalima, his salah is mardood, rejected, until he does not face Qibla, not Qibla of Kaaba, but what the Quran says, Qiblatan tardaha, until he doesn't face that Qibla which pleased Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. We will turn you to that Qibla which pleases you. Pleases who? Pleases Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Allah commands the whole ummah, face Masjid al-Haram. And if you look at this verse, why? Because this is the Qibla that pleases Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khaliq kainat is Allah. Salah, akhimi salata li dhikri. You mean it is the highest embodiment and display of ubudiyat before Allah. You are making sajda before Allah. Yet when Allah speaks of that ibadat, face the Qibla which pleases Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha, our mother, look at her reaction to this expression of Quran. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا مَا أَرَى رَبَّكَ إِلَّا يُسَارِعُ فِي هَوَا. Another riwayat, مَا أَسْرَى مَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ رَبُّكَ. She says, oh my beloved, I cannot help but form this conclusion that Allah hastens to fulfill your desires. مَا أَسْرَى مَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ رَبَّكَ. How quick your Allah is in accepting whatever you desire. Why? Because there was total compatibility between the desire of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mannerism, his way, there was total compatibility between that and the command of Allah. His very nature, his very essence had come into conformance with the shariat and deen of my Allah and the ahkamat and injunctions of my Allah and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, unfortunately, we fail to grasp and understand that. Like I said, time constraints. How much has this love, how much has this benevolence, how much has this devotion towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam translated itself in our lives? Marriages are in a problem. Homes are in a problem. One of the fundamental causes is that today you tell someone, bhai, Shab-e-Barat is coming, wake up for tahajjud namaz. Make tilawat of Quran. Make Allah's zikr on the 15th night of Shaban. He may do it or he may not do it, but the one who's doing it is doing it. Why? Because that is sharia, that is sunnah, that is ibadat. In the same way, understand, my respected brothers, as a husband striving to adopt the demeanor and manner of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the house is also ibadat. My Nabi was what? In his house. Today, one of the biggest problems that are facing our marriages is what? Emotional starvation. We are not vested in our relationships. Husband is somewhere else mentally, wife is somewhere else mentally. And more often than not, because of the pressures and constraints of the type of lifestyle that we are living, we have become harsh, intolerant, unappreciative in our conduct in our homes. Normally, when we hear about the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does Allah say? Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We made you a mercy. When Allah talks about nikah in the Quran, what does Allah say? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. One of the fundamental objectives of nikah, O wife, my Nabi was rahmatul lil alameen. In your house, become a rahmat to your husband. Husband, follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a husband, when you open your mouth and talk, when you walk into your house, when you address your wife, when you vest yourself in your marital relationship, ask yourself, are you a rahmat? Are you a source of mercy? Are you a source of compassion? Or what have you become in your home? Have you taken your wife for granted? Have you taken your marital relationship for granted? Look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he say? The hadith I mentioned in the beginning. Ya Aisha urfuqi. Aisha, be soft. Be compassionate. Be gentle, be kind. Wives of the ummah are being commanded. Husband is commanded. Why? إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهِ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْءِ. Another hadith. إِنَّمَا, my Nabi said, حُرِّمُ الْخَيْرِ كُلَّهُ إِنَّمَا تُحْرَمُونَ الرِّفْءِ. بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ إِذَا حُرِّمُ الْخَيْرِ أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Two scenarios are painted in these two ahadiths. The crux of it, my Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, that house where the husband is soft-natured, compassionate and kind and affectionate, and that wife adopts that same demeanor and manner, it means that Allah has made the decision of khair and goodness for that home. The other hadith, when Allah decides to deprive a home of mercy, when Allah decides to deprive a home of every khair and goodness, what happens? Harshness, intolerance, rigidity, harshness of speech, emotional starvation enters such a home. Aisha, urfuqi, he said, Aisha, be soft. As a wife, be soft, be compassionate, be gentle. Normally, when we illustrate examples of this, more often than not, we glean examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly normally pertinent to what? To incidents of Aisha radiallahu anha. Today, I want to mention one or two incidents. Not so famous, but they in Bukhari, they in Muslim, they in the Sahih books of Ahadith, from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the level of his compassion. What example? The marriage to Safiya bint Huyay, who was Safiya radiyallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these were not ordinary women. What does my Allah tell us in the Quran? Ya Nisa al-Nabi, lastunnaka ahadim minan Nisa. O wives of the Prophet, there are no women like you. They were selected, chosen to become the mothers of the ummah. Ummahatuhu. Ummaha wa anniba an-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. Quran is saying these are your mothers. Aisha is your mother. Safiya is your mother. Maymuna is your mother. Juwayriya is your mother. Umme Salma is your mother. Khadija and the rest of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are your mothers. In other words, obey them, follow them, exalt them, honor them, learn from them. In Khaybar, returning from that expedition, the nikah takes place with Safiya. By nature, she was short. Her stature was, she was short. She was finding it difficult to mount the camel. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? This is that Nabi, that personality. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. Allah says, we gave this ummah the qibla that pleases you. That maqam. Yet, he comes in the books of seerah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lowers his knee and his thigh. He makes himself the ladder so that the short Safiya radiallahu anha, who by stature was short, can place her foot on the leg of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to mount the camel. What is this for you and I? Ibadat. This show of affection, this assisting your wife when she is weak, this is ibadat, this is Ayn Shariat. In that same journey, she starts weeping and crying. She has just lost her people. She is newly married. Emotionally, she is facing certain challenges. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed that Safiya is sobbing silently. He approaches her. Safiya, why are you crying? She says, the women, some women, I'm not going into the detail, they started mocking her, that you are the daughter of a Jew, your father has just died, and now you are under a man whose other wives look down upon you. What is the reaction? Allahu Akbar. Look at the manner in which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoles her. He says, Safiya, why didn't you say, my father is Harun alayhi salam, my uncle is Musa alayhi salam, and my husband is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a beautiful response. How he elevated her. Saying, Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the military commander. Sahaba are on an expedition of jihad. Jihad fi sabilillah. What were the challenges they faced? They were not militarily equipped. Many expeditions, the daily ration would be one date for the entire day. Hunger, hardship, the burning intensity of the heat of the desert, what does all this contribute to? People become short-tempered. People become impatient. It's natural. When things are not going your way, and over and above that, he is the commander, the military leader of the entire army. In a nation, what was their history? They had no respect for women. Wives were regarded as possessions. They would bury their daughters alive. That was their background. Now the military commander, what is happening? The whole army is being delayed. Why? Something is wrong with the camel of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Because she is holding back this entire kafla that is striving in the path of Allah on a military expedition of jihad. She becomes emotionally distressed. She starts sobbing and crying. She can't help it. The camel is slow. It's slowing everybody else down. She's hurt as a result of it. Sahaba describe various riwayat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going towards her. As a military commander, he could have ignored her distress. He could have not invested himself emotionally. Some sahaba say, when they saw him going towards her, they formed the opinion he's going to reprimand her. What is wrong with you, Safiya? Why are you delaying the entire army? Your conduct is a reflection on me, the husband, who's the leader of this military jihad. Yet, Allahu Akbar, what does he do? He goes to Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Let this translate. You had a hard day at work. Things are not going right financially. When you walk into your house, how do you walk into your house? If you find your wife distressed, something is troubling, it's the wrong time of the month, how do you conduct yourself? Nikah is ibadat. Your conduct in your home is ibadat. Allah's Rasul ﷺ approaches her. Sahaba say, we thought he was going to reprimand her. What does he do? Consoles her. Safiya, first what does he tell her? Anti bintu kareem. Safiya, you are from a lofty heritage. Your father was a leader, he was an honorable man. Who was her father? A Jew, Yahudi, leader of his tribe, enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, anti bintu kareem. Sometimes, what do we learn from this? That when you give comfort, don't give comfort demeaning someone. Give comfort, invest yourself emotionally, uplifting the person. Anti bintu kareem. Safiya, you are the daughter of an honorable man. What is the need for you to become so distressed like this? And then, فَجَعَلَ يَمْسَحُ دُمُوعَهَا بِيَدِهِ. Bukhari Sharif Hadith. In front of the entire army, that person who was impeding the movement of the entire army, slowing them down, the military commander and leader, what does he do? What sahaba are looking. He takes his Mubarak hands and with his own hands he starts wiping the tears from the face of Safiya radiallahu anha. Consoling her, giving her love, giving her himmat. Safiya, don't be distressed, don't cry. You are the daughter of an honorable person. And then, kaan khol kar sun lena. Kaan khol kar sun lena. Aashiq-e Rasool kehna bohat aasan hai. What does he say? He instructs the one who is leading the camels, who's in charge of this entire movement of the camels in the path of Allah. My Nabi addresses him. Alayka bil qawarir. Alayka bil qawarir. Be careful. Be delicate. Slow down. You have glass vessels with you. What glass vessels? These women that are with you, be considerate of them. Aisha, when she was asked, describe the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did she say, radiallahu anha? Ama taqra'ul Qur'an. Do you not read the Qur'an? He was the walking Qur'an. In the Qur'an, what does Allah instruct the husbands of this ummah? Aashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Live with your wives in kindness. Live with your wives in compassion. Treat them kindly and compassionately. Overlook their faults, their irritation. Aashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah on this expression. Alayka bil qawarir. Commanding the one who is leading the camels. Be careful of these delicate glass vessels that you have with him. He says, Hada dalilun wajib. Hada dalilun wadih. Ala wujubir rifq bin nisa. He says this is a clear proof that it is compulsory, it is wajib. It is compulsory, it is wajib that you be compassionate with your wives. Fa'inna qulubahunna raqiqa. Because their hearts are soft, they are delicate by nature. Wa kasruha a'zamu min kasri zujaj. And breaking those hearts with your harshness, with your swearing, with your striking out at them with your tongues, with your hurting their feelings on a daily basis, with your emotionally starving them, inna kasrahunna adhamun min kasri zijaj. That sin is worse than the breaking of glass, because Allah has made their hearts delicate, their hearts are glass, and Allah has commanded you, Allah Qurtubi rahimahullah writes, wa ashiruhunna bil ma'roof, that deal kindly with them, compassionately with them, as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically demonstrated for each and every one of us. This month of Sha'ban, this is Muqaddimah of Ramadan. This is the introduction of Ramadan. Ramadan is not only ibadat. Ramadan is not only the time to reconnect with Allah. Each one of us in our homes, my nikah is an ibadat. My conduct is an ibadat. The state of my heart is an ibadat. You are going to fast. Learn, your tongue has to fast. Your eyes have to fast. Your ears have to fast. Your heart has to fast. And what does this fasting mean? Remove the court, remove the male, remove the dirt, remove this harshness, intolerance, rigidity, remove this lack of investing ourselves emotionally in our homes. That is also ibadat, not just ibadat, that is a greater ibadat than your nafil salah, etc. Why? Because my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Akmalul mu'minina imanan, ahsanuhum khuluqa. He said, the best, the most kamil, the most perfect believer amongst you is the one who will develop his akhlaq and character the best. And where is the crunch acid test for akhlaq and character? He said, khiyarukum, khiyarukum limisaihim, the best husband amongst you. Khayrukum altafuhum bi ahli, the most compassionate and kind and forgiving husband amongst you. He has reached kamale iman. This is kamale iman. Like Allama Ghazali rahimahullah says, khalaqallahu jasad an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akmal al-ajsad. Allah created Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outwardly, he had the best appearance. There was nothing that could resemble or come close to the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Externally, kama khalaqa kul khuluqahu akmal al-akhlaq, just as Allah made his akhlaq, his compassion, his nature, kamal, the most beautifully, the most beautiful. Fakana tam fi surah, kama huwa tam fi sirah. He was perfection in appearance as he was perfection in conduct. Take your cue. They talk about recipe of a sublime, beautiful, happy marriage. There's no other recipe. Men on Mars and women on Venus and all these theories of the West, that is no recipe. The only recipe is the akhlaq and seerah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq.